Lake Effect Weekend continues now. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things ain't too awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about
political satirist, stand-up comedian, and Milwaukee native Will Durst is no stranger to the show. He's reported to us live from Washington, D.C. for President Obama's first inauguration. He's chatted with us before some of the stand-up gigs he's had around town, and he's written and voiced up-to-the-minute mini-essays. Well, this week, Durst has been back in his hometown to perform his new one-man show, Boomeraging, from LSD to OMG, at Next Act Theater. As you can tell from the title, it's an homage to the baby boom generation, a generation of which he, and in the interests of full disclosure, I, are proud members. From segments entitled Racing from the Shadow of a Mushroom Cloud, The Blinking VCR, and Still Doing Drugs, Only Now There's a Copay, the show promises to pay fitting tribute to the me generation. Will Durst, it is so great to see you. Welcome back to town.
Pshaw, the honor is mine, and I'm glad I was able to come after the vortex.
Yes, yes, you missed the polar vortex. I don't know how you managed to live with yourself.
When I wrote you, you said, yes, come on down, do the interview. But hopefully we're getting our January weather here now in December. And it'll be halfway. And it's not bad.
It's not bad right now, although it's snowing out a little bit right now.
Yeah, but, is the river frozen?
Some of it is, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it does happen. I know you've been in California a long time.
I remember when I left Milwaukee, and it was the winter after. It was after the winter where the weathermen were so excited on television because the city was going to break the record for consecutive days without the temperature getting above zero. And they were so excited. And I'm looking at the TV, oh, no, only two more days, and we're going to break the record, the all-time record. And I'm thinking, this is incorrect thought. They were so excited about not getting above zero. So I left right after that.
Yeah, and that's – I can understand why.
Yeah.
I can. But you're back. And you're back doing a show that kind of is near and dear to my heart because I'm a boomer too.
You're a trailing edge boomer.
I'm a trailing edge boomer, which is kind of cool.
Yes,
which
you're is a Brady Bunch boomer.
Well, I'm kind of – I don't know if I'm quite a Brady Bunch boomer. I might be a little earlier.
You're not a Leave It to Beaver boomer.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So I guess –
yeah, Brady Bunch.
I don't quite need the thicker reading glasses yet.
I have contacts. So yeah,
okay.
I get past that.
You get past that. So Boomeraging from LSD to OMG.
Yes. It's a celebration of the maturation of the boomer nation.
Yeah. And there are a lot of fun things that you're going to talk about. Like favorite non-cruciferous vegetable?
Well, that part of the show, I'm talking about how you have to keep up, you know, because we are not technophobes. It's just they keep pushing the goalposts, you know, so that, I mean, I finally figure out MySpace and it's so 2011, you know, and then the passwords and – but you just have to keep up. I mean, the hard part is – you know, the non-cruciferous vegetable, that's for the password because the passwords have gotten ridiculous. I have to change my password every 6 hours now. And it's got to be 6 characters long but no more than 12. It's got to have non-consecutive numerals and a capital letter and petroglyph.
And don't forget that on the smartphones, the little pads that you're supposed to be typing all of this stuff on are so small that you can't see it anyway.
No. I actually had that problem where I couldn't see the directions that I was supposed to be following. And then there's the 27-page user agreement that nobody bothers to read. And you have no idea what you're actually agreeing to.
And what you've just signed up
for.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, we really can take your firstborn child, because it's right there.
And you will never get paid again because this is throughout the universe in perpetuity. So that means if the people on Jupiter turn out to be comedy fans, you still don't get paid.
Right. Yeah. But you don't get paid anyway for comedy, do you?
Yeah. Well, this is a percentage gig, so that's one of the reasons I'm flacking my little butt off trying to get people there.
I have to say one of the segments that made me laugh out loud just reading the title was Still Doing Drugs, Only Now There's a Copay.
Yes. Yes. That's one of the bright sides of because I came up with the bright sides of being a baby boomer because there are bright sides. You know, I mean, we no longer expend a lot of energy trying to catch a hummingbird with our bare hands. You know, we really, you know, you may not be able to dodge trouble as fast as you once were, but you can certainly recognize its approach from farther away. Honey, get your coat. Your brother's drinking again. You know, I mean, stuff like that. So that's one of them. You think about it. Baby boomers were you in hostage situations were generally one of the first released, you know, because we need our medication and nobody wants someone. Yeah. So there are good sides to becoming old.
There are.
Yes.
Beyond that.
Who wouldn't want to have their living assisted?
That's true.
Yeah. Peeing three times a night turns out to be a highly effective means of home security.
I hadn't thought of it
yeah,
quite that way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm here to help.
So it's trying to find those upsides. The other thing I was thinking of, too, is that, you know, there's still Social Security for boomers.
Yes, they haven't raised the age yet.
Right.
They will
soon. And there's still money.
And they haven't gotten rid of the money yet, but they will soon.
Right.
You know, they're going to raise – the only way to save Social Security by raising the eligibility age to 83. And that will happen. But, you know, because they're so worried because we baby boomers, we vote. So they will always keep us out of the equation. You're going to change the age qualification, but anybody over the age of 50 is okay. You know, so we'll just change. It'll be a two-tier thing.
So,
we will be catered to the rest of our lives. The demographers, the population scientists call us the pig in the snake. Because you think about it, that's what the population growth looks like. Depression, nobody's having kids in the Depression, they can't afford them. World War II, all the soldiers. 46, the soldiers start coming home. Soldiers been away a long time. They just discovered sangria. You know, I mean, a lot. And then 1964, soldiers tired. And so that's the baby boomers.
You also talk about the blinking VCR.
Well,
I was thinking that was my parents, though, not me.
No, that was my dad.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's why I say we got to keep up, because my dad kind of peaked technologically in 1957 with a shirt pocket transistor radio. That was his, Valhalla. I mean, he loved it. I still have this image of my dad curled up on the couch with the newspaper open on the middle cushion and him listening to the radio with an earplug, and the national news was on the TV. So my dad was like info junkie. But I bought him a VCR one year for Christmas, and I came back for Thanksgiving after I set it up for the July because, you know, they didn't know how to set it up. So I come back, and the VCR was blinking 12, and they didn't want me to fix it. I tried to reset it, and they wouldn't let me. My dad wouldn't let me.
Why not?
Leave it alone. It's fine the way it is. Because he had figured out that he could still play a tape when he wanted to, and he could record whatever he wanted to as long as he was watching it at the time. So that's
didn't need that pesky timer thing.
No.
Yeah.
He didn't need it.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you got to keep – and that's one of my little tips at the end. Don't let the VCR blink 12.
Yeah. What do you think would be the current equivalent of that? Something on your smartphone not working or...
Using your smartphone as a phone. There's an app for that. You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's true. You don't actually have to talk to people.
No. But there are so many apps on the, you know, and my phone is much smarter than I am, which is depressing. But I like the new technology. I was always good with the typewriter, you know, because went to journalism school, blah, blah, hootie-doo. And so the computer, when you have to submit a column or something. But I'm on the web and I get so distracted so easily. And I look under my search history and there's multiple listings for defeating memory loss. You know, I realize.
I was going to say that's probably one of the disadvantages to being a boomer is that kind of incipient memory porousness, let's put it that way. I kind of noticed that little bit of like, who was I talking to? What was that? Why did I come into this room?
The going into the room thing. That happens to me all the time. And you know what I do? I go back to where I had the instinct to go back into the room, and I look around and I find my motivation for going back into that room again.
Have you turned into your father then? Is that what you're saying?
I have turned into my father. I've always looked like my father. Now I'm starting to make those noises. You know the noises, the four-part symphony of grunts and groans that accompany getting out of any chair. You know, yeah, the jingling of the change in my pants pocket.
Yeah.
And the words, you know, words that we swore up and down that we would rather nail our tongue to the railing of a banister than ever have these words come up. And, you know, back in our day, you know, I mean, we hear ourselves say that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this particular show?
Well, what happened was in 2012, during the election, I wrote a show called Elect to Laugh and started out on Super Tuesday and then did it for 41 weeks until election night. So it started out and I do this material and I do it over and over and it gets thicker and lusher and I find shortcuts. And doing the election show, I would have political junkies come see me. So I didn't have to worry about a general audience being bored with stories about Rick Perry or Michelle Bachmann, you know, and they just got more wonderful as the year went on. And then on November 7th, 2012, the show evaporated. Nobody gave a rat's behind about Rick Perry or Rick Santorum or Rick Gingrich or any other Ricks that were running. And so I decided to write the Baby Boomer Show because I will always be a baby boomer and I'll always be able to come back. So I did it last year. I started it in 2013 and I was doing it in San Francisco and I did it for about 30 weeks and it got really, really tight. And another reason is this show is classic. It will last forever. And if I get the right audience of baby boomers, I can do the same show in front of them over and over and they will laugh every time because all the material will be fresh to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over.
They don't remember why they came to the theater.
So I'm doing it in Milwaukee. Last week I did Cloverdale, which is a little burb north of Santa Rosa, which is north of San Francisco. And I'm trying to do theaters all over Northern California. And then next week I'm in Seattle. And it's just me and an overhead projector for 85 minutes. And it's pushing
the edge of technology there with the overhead projector, bringing me back to my school days.
Yeah, I actually have a sign that discourages people from under the age of 40 from attending because the use of this archaic technology can sometimes offend them.
You know? Right. I'm surprised you don't have a mimeograph machine.
I wanted to. And if I ever got into the same place for like a long run, I would print out the program out of mimeograph machine.
With that smell.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh. I can remember, you know, when you were really good in school, which didn't happen to me very often, but you'd get to go and print things on the mimeograph machine. At least that was something that they let us do. You know, if you'd like got a gold star in spelling or something, you could go actually. And I think everyone would just go because you'd get high from the fumes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It turned us into apprentice huffers.
I know.
And then I'd be the guy in the front row because I always had to sit in the front row because I screwed up so much in the back. They always moved me. So I was always in the front row and just smell.
And they would be wet.
And people behind me would complain that I'd smelled all the sniff off of their paper. Yeah. Blue nose.
Yeah, that kind of purpley blue. Yeah, I remember that. You say, you know, you kind of discourage people from under 40. But I assume that there are people who are under 40 who come to this. Are they finding it funny too?
It's a funny show. And even if you don't understand the references 100%. You're still familiar with most of them. So,
well, yeah, you have parents
laughs. Everybody laughs. But it just hits boomers a little sharper, you know, a little deeper. You know.
So are you adding things as you think of them?
Because
you keep forgetting?
Every week. No. I have a script.
Okay.
And I review the script. And tightening up the language because I'm trying to find the – for instance – I'm talking about tattoos and things like that. So I came up with a piece of language where I'm talking about the kids don't understand that these intricate etchings, because it's not just the tastes that change, the canvas does as well. So boomers, it's your responsibility to hip the kids to the bummer of the fact that those intricate etchings are destined to be hit with a Salvador Dali melting bomb. So I'm just working on stuff like that, the language, you know, hip the kids of the bummer of the fact. So I'm trying to, you know, include more and more language from
our time.
Yeah. And this show is built like a skeleton. You know, I just had the script to begin with, and then you get more and more familiar with the script, and then you start adding, you know, the circulatory system, you know, that brings it all together. And then you throw on the muscles, which is the movement, and then the skin, which for me is the facial expression. So that's why the show, it needs to evolve. It's not like Botticelli's Venus on a Half Shell where you emerge full blown from the sea, and you know, I have to work in front of an audience. I can't, you know, because musicians, you know, they can wail, you know, to Jimi Hendrix in the basement and replicate him and come out. But I need that audience. I need the English language, you know, like Maria Claus Brandauer in that movie, Mephisto's Waltz. I need the German I need the English language, and I got to find ways to dance and jog and jig.
Well, not too hard. Because, you know, you're probably taking heart medicine.
I know.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
I tweaked my back on stage the other day, and it wasn't even an especially, you know, odd movement. It was just as simple. I was just turning to and I can't cry out and go, ah, in front of the crowd like that. It was
well, you fun. Could. They'd probably think it was part of the act. Yeah. And they'd be laughing at your pain.
Because, you know, Dick Shawn died on stage. He did a show called The Second Greatest Entertainer in the Whole Wide World, and he would do part of the show lying with his back, just lying on the stage, and then he would emerge from this pile of newspapers. And so he had a heart attack on stage, and the audience didn't know it. They thought it was part of the show.
Oh.
So you got to be real careful.
Yeah. Okay, Will Durst, let's hope that doesn't happen to
you. No.
Okay.
I'm a young man.
All right.
I'll be 62 in 61 days.
All right. Just in time for your Social Security.
No, I ain't taking it.
I know. Right. Well, you took it early.
I'm going to wait till 70.
Yeah. You got to get the big check.
Yeah. Got to get the big check.
That's right.
Got to wait for the big check.
So, as always, Mr. Durst.
Thank you, Miss Bonnie.
Such a pleasure to have you in.
Sure. The honor was mine. And I'll see you guys on Lake Effect.
You will.
Or hear you guys.
Will Durst.
Visit you guys.
Something. You'll forget. Don't worry about it. Will Durst, as always, a pleasure.
Pshaw, the honor was mine, young lady.
Political satirist Will Durst is a Milwaukee native who now lives in California's Bay Area. His one-man show, Boomeraging, from LSD to OMG, opened Thursday night at Next Act Theater, and it runs through Saturday. There are links to all the pertinent information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break, and then we'll have the second part of our It's a Material World segment that examines the ways in which objects help us navigate the difficult times in our lives. Stay tuned. We'll be back with that in just a moment when Lake Effect Weekend returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.
Why don't you all fade away? Don't try to dig what we all say. Sensation. Just talking about my generation.